May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1127. When Zion's sons, great God, appear in Zion's courts for praise and prayer, there in thy spirit deign to be as one with those who worship thee. Hymn 1127.
Thank you. Let us read from Psalm 149, and then we will read Isaiah chapter 61. Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honour have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Now let us turn to Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, Almighty and most gracious God, we do pray now that thou wouldst look in mercy and help us. O Lord, draw near unto us. Do grant thy sweet presence, we pray, for we are So destitute of ourselves, we could not, except thou be in the midst, raise one utterance that is acceptable in thy sight. Except it be in thy precious name, O Lord Jesus. We can but offer swine's blood, dog's heads, abominations. We but bless an idol, except thou dost, by thy almighty power, thy grace, thy mercy, thou dost create a clean heart within us, new desires. O Lord, the old man of sin can do nothing but sin. But O Lord, do create a new heart within us, a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us, we pray, that we may worship thee as we ought, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son. Now we do pray that thou mightest clothe us with that glorious robe of righteousness, that it might be the righteousness of thy dear Son, not our own unrighteousnesses, but thy righteousness, O Lord, when we approach unto thee. Or that we may be washed in the precious blood of Christ, cleansed through his death and resurrection, that we might be granted new life, new desires, new hope, a new and living way, then be granted that strength to walk in it, one day to be before thee in glory, to praise thee as we ought. O Lord, look in mercy for our praises are so lacking. O how we are ungrateful. Thou hast blessed us in so many ways. Thou hast favoured us in so many ways. We are here in thy house. We have thy word before us. Thou hast gathered us in peace. Thou hast granted us the strength to come. Ears to hear, lips to speak, eyes to see. And, O Lord, we do pray thou hast granted us that faith, that spiritual sight, to see thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to look and live, looking unto thee, O Lord Jesus. O Lord, help us, we do pray, that we might truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. If we come in the flesh, we cannot please thee. But, O Lord, do draw us and we will run after thee. Do gather us where two or three are gathered together in thy name. There thou art in the midst. Do gather us, we pray, by the Spirit. Grant us that desire to gather, that there may be that union as we come, that we may be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that we might view thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, in thy glory, and hear thy words. We do pray for thy blessing to rest upon the people here, our friends, the deacons here, that thou wouldst uphold them and strengthen them. Grant them all needed wisdom. Do help them in the affairs of the house. Grant them that grace as they choose the hymns, that thou wouldst be pleased to direct them and ourselves. O Lord, we do pray thou wouldst be pleased to grant a godly increase in the midst here, a building up in the most holy faith, a bringing in of those that would be seeking thee. O Lord, an arrow of conviction into those that may yet be here and who are not seeking thee with the whole heart. That thou wouldst reveal thyself unto those that are seeking thee, begging for mercy, thou mightest draw near to them. And thou wouldst deliver the captives. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to grant a blessing in the churches and those in the neighbouring cause, that thou wouldst be pleased to help them and their pastor and the labours of thy servants throughout this land. We do pray for that godly increase. Oh, how it grieves us as we seek to labour, as we read the word, oh, so little fruit is seen. Oh, look in mercy upon us, we do pray. Oh, how the deceitfulness of riches and all the cares and concerns of this life choke the word and it is unfruitful. Oh, how shall we appear before thee if there is no fruit? Oh, what a terrible appearance it will be. And we shall know then that thou art a consuming fire, eternally, to our everlasting shame and torment. O Lord, do save us, we pray, from a fruitless hearing of the word, a reading of the word, singing with the lips the praises of thy name, but no fruit, O how solemn. O Lord, do save us from it. We do beg that thou mightest come, that the word may come with power, that there may be fruit in the churches, fruit in our lives. Oh, we do beg for the anointing of the Spirit, that there may be those fruits coming forth thine honour and glory. And, O Lord, we do pray again that thou wouldst look in mercy upon our nation, to turn us again, for only the power of the gospel can do us any real and lasting good. O Lord, appear for us, we pray. Look in mercy upon our Queen and Royal Family and the Prime Minister and Government. And we do beg that thou mightest be pleased to raise up those that would fear thy name, that would pray unto thee, that would walk in honesty and integrity before the people. O Lord, we do pray for that deliverance. And those that have waited long at Bethesda's pool, oh, that they might know a deliverance. Oh, how matters are so often so clouded here in this our day. Yet in former generations the word came clearly with power. And have not we sinned? Have we not we corrupted thy commandments? Have not we made idols of the providential blessings thou hast granted us? O Lord, look in mercy upon us, and do grant that clear shining of the light of the truth, that we might have the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We ask then for thy mercy and help, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn number 29. Descend from heaven, celestial dove, with flames of pure seraphic love, our ravished breasts inspire. Fountain of joy, blessed paraclete, warm our cold hearts with heavenly heat, and set our souls on fire. Hymn 29.
Thank you.
much needing the help of God the Holy Spirit. I desire to speak this evening from Psalm 149. Psalm 149, and in particular the fourth verse. Psalm 149, verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. This is the glorious theme of the redeemed that praise the Lord. It is in the salvation in Christ Jesus as the high praises of God. We read that in the following verses. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. It is on account of the glorious redemption in Christ Jesus. There is the praise sent forth. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. Yes, all the creation, every man, woman and child is to be thankful unto the Lord their Creator. There is no excuse. To give glory unto the Lord God, there is no excuse. Every one of us must give an account. For those that are called in Christ Jesus, those whom the Lord taketh pleasure in, how much higher are the praises. Though they may be feeble in the flesh, yet in the spirit, how much higher those praises are for so great a salvation. Yes, we must, and we would desire to thank God for his providential mercies. But as we have been singing that hymn, oh, that we may praise God for the glory of redemption in Christ Jesus, for his shed blood. The Lord Jesus Christ went to die upon the cross. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. It is only as viewed in the Lord Jesus Christ, as only washed in his precious blood, can the Lord God take any pleasure in his people. For the Lord cannot so much as look upon sin. God the Father cannot so much as look upon sin. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. And except we be cleansed in the precious blood of Christ, those sins washed away in the everlasting covenant. Except we be clothed in the glorious righteousness of Christ, the Lord cannot take any pleasure in us, in anything that we do, in any worship that we might offer up. In that last chapter of Isaiah, how searching it is. We have the proclamation by the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Oh, how high and exalted is the Lord. But to this man will I look. Oh, how the Lord takes pleasure in poor, sinful man. But which man? Which woman? Which child? To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. But then we have this description of those that have a form of religion, ever so exact. He that killeth an ox. We have those that sacrifice a lamb. Those that offer an oblation, that is a sacrifice. Burneth incense. Everything is done according to the law, in that outward form in the temple, and as it was in the Old Testament, is it so today? Come to the house of God, everything looks exact, we sing the hymns, and we should sing the hymns in a sober way. So it should be. In a sober yet joyous praise of God, in a solemn praise of God. Yes, we should come to the house of God in that right outward demeanour, that sobriety. Yes, we should have the word of God and read it. We thank God that we have the word here before us. But as we read the whole of that verse, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. There's no humbling. There's been no humbling. No felt sense of a poverty before God. Perhaps no sense of the presence of God. As we spoke this morning concerning Jacob, how when the Lord awakened him by that revelation at Bethel, said, how dreadful is this place. He knew not that, he had not known that God was there, but now he does. This is none other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. Have we come to the house of God this night? Or perhaps it is a regular visit to the house of God and we know not that it is the house of God. We know it's the strict Baptist chapel. We don't know the God of heaven. We know about him, heard about him. Perhaps disbelieved he exists. Or perhaps believe that God wouldn't be so strict, as it were, to forbid all manner of worldliness and carnality that we so much desire. Can't we have more of the world and religion as well? So they were in the days of Isaiah. They came to the house of God, there to have all the sacrifices, offer up all the incense, yet their hearts were going after their idols. Now an idol is anything that one loves above God. Now idols can be things that are quite right in their place. An idol might be one's husband or wife, or child, or parent. We might even idolise the building of the house of God, or the denomination. Might idolise the minister, idolise money, idolise many things, idolise vile things. But if there is anything that we love above God, it is an idol. If we come into the house of God and sing the high praises of God according to the lip but not according to the heart, it is like this, he that killeth an ox as if he slew a man, he that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. It might sound nice music and nice words in the ears of those around us, but in God's sight it is an abomination. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Without faith it is impossible to please him. Oh, that we might have that solemn understanding that we are before a holy and a heart-searching God, not worshipping in each other's sight. If we do not know it now and are called before the judgment seat of Christ, we will know it terribly then. Every eye shall see. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. How the Lord takes pleasure in the poor, the humble, the contrite. And what made them poor and humble and contrite? It wasn't the flesh. As we spoke this morning concerning Jacob, before we read that he was afraid, that is, he had godly fear, the Lord appeared to him first. In his darkness, in the night time, when he had no works to place before God to say that he was worthy of anything but condemnation. It is all of grace. The Lord will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people, that number that is chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ from before the foundation of the world. We cannot explain the mystery. Other than this, the Lord is sovereign. Some will say, well, it's not fair. How can he do such a thing? Oh, what an abomination as a sinful man or woman or child to challenge the God of heaven. And every thought, or indeed if it comes out of our lips, that would challenge the honour and glory and power of God, we must face him face to face. Or remember as a school child, about speaking rude and wrong things about teachers behind their backs, or perhaps even one's parents, or perhaps the minister. And how ashamed we'd have been if that teacher or parent or minister had heard our very words and we had to face him and look him in the face. Now our eyes would be down, we could not face him. But remember, the one day we must give an account before the judgment seat of Christ. Every eye shall see. We will not be able to turn away our face then, but to see in terror. Those eyes that are as a flame of fire. But the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Perhaps we have done that and worse. Blaspheme the name of God, vilely abused his servants, ridiculed those that are the Lord's people. That was the pathway that I was in before the Lord called me by sovereign grace. How was it the Lord should have pleasure in such a wretch as I? My knowledge of the Spirit was the sort that is to be sold in public houses. To be drunk was my meat and drink. But the Lord had mercy. It was by the work of the Holy Spirit. Through the precious blood of Christ, for the Lord's people, though so unworthy, so wretched, so undeserving of mercy, yet the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life, shed his precious blood, and it is in him, and him alone, that the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. There God the Father looks upon his beloved Son, his righteousness. As that hymn, if we can remember it aright, sets forth so beautifully. The breach, my breaches of the law are his, and his obedience mine. The Lord Jesus Christ bore my breaches of the law, that where we have broken the law of God. The Lord bore that we may be clothed upon with righteousness, his righteousness, brought out in his sacred humanity, that we may be beautified. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Now we may spend much time and much labour seeking to beautify our bodies. And what vanity it is. Not that we should be careless, but what multitudes spend their labour and their money trying to turn back the tide of the years, try and appear as if they are younger than they are. Many young children trying to appear older than they are. Just vanity. Trying to appear in jewellery. Trying to appear in all manner of makeup, fashion. Does not the word of God condemn such things? Going after costly array. Expensive clothes. Trying to beautify ourselves, oh, that we might seek that which is from above, that which is heavenly. That heavenly robe of righteousness. So costly, yet so free. So precious, yet given to the vilest of wretches. To those that are naked, yet the Lord gives it unto them. In the Gospel, according to Luke, we have the words of John the Baptist. And we feel time and again from the pulpit we must speak of these things. Here John the Baptist was speaking to those that came to him to be baptized. And it is true counsel, but yet there's a deeper truth therein, spiritual truth. He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. That speaks of the work of Christ. Of two coats. In his divine glory, no man may approach. We have that seen so clearly at Mount Sinai with the thunders and the lightnings, the darkness. There the children of Israel could not so much as approach the border of the mount. If they were to touch it, they were to be thrust through to die. But the Lord Jesus Christ came. The eternal Son of God assumed human nature. He was born as the babe Bethlehem, and there Simeon and Anna may look upon the babe. There they may carry him in their arms as their saviour. There they may behold him and live, not die. Manoah and his wife, when that angel appeared unto them, the angel of the covenant, that appearance, that pre-incarnate appearance of the eternal Son of God, there was that sacrifice, and the angel, the Lord, did wondrously. His name was Wonderful, Secret. That name that was yet to be revealed, the name of Jesus. Then the angel ascended upon the flames. As it were, that angel was consumed and entered the fire and then ascended. Oh, that speaks of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who is the great high priest yet offered himself. Not the sacrifice of another, but himself. And then ascended into glory. Rose from the dead. Ascended into glory. In the Lord's obedience and his sacrifice on account of our disobedience. There that glorious robe of righteousness wrought out by his obedience is given unto us who are his people who are so disobedient. There the Lord beautifies the meek with salvation. And that work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That work is to reprove of sin. No judgment, to reprove, to bring us down. Rather than to be proud sinners, presumptuous sinners, ignorant sinners. But to reprove. That we may fall at the feet of Jesus. No less sinners, but meek, humble, contrite. That we may receive that application in our souls of the precious righteousness of Christ. We who have no coat, the Lord who wrought out that righteousness in his human nature, may impart that to us who are naked, destitute, blind, but brought in repentance at the feet of Jesus. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation, those who the Lord takes pleasure in. It is a certainty he will beautify them. There will not be any left out whom the Lord has died for, whom the Lord has walked on their behalf in all the commandments of the law, in heart and soul and might. He will beautify, not might. He will beautify the meek with salvation. But it's not this the theme of praise of the Lord's people, the high praises of God be in their mouth. Let the saints be joyful in glory. It'll be the theme of the saints in glory eternally. Worthy the Lamb that was slain. We read of those redeemed in heaven in that revelation, vision that the Lord gave unto the Apostle John. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed as clothed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints, the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ imputed unto them. That fine linen, there to be clothed upon, there to stand before the Lamb in those glorious robes given unto them. Let the saints be joyful in glory. But then we read, let them sing aloud upon their beds. That is a reference to the pathway that each one of the Lord's people must go through here. Of affliction, of trouble, bereavement, disappointment, anxiety, perhaps a time when we know not what to do. But yet, when by the Spirit, by faith, it is revealed to us that the Lord has beautified us with his salvation. There, even in our deepest bed of affliction, they sing aloud upon their beds. How we've read of the Lord's people in their deep affliction, perhaps on their deathbed. They cannot do anything else, but they're enabled to praise God. Maybe ever so feebly in the flesh, but in the spirit, their praises enter into heaven. We think of the late John Warburton, how on his deathbed he seemed almost unable to speak, but then at the very end he was enabled to shout that word, Alleluia, and then slumped down, his spirit had gone to be with his Saviour. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Oh, how we have that need, do we not? The Lord might, in our afflictions, in our trouble, perhaps in the night time on our beds when we cannot sleep, when one or another trouble or temptation crowds upon us. Oh, that we may look up, not look down, but look up. We spoke about those mountains this morning. How beautiful those feet. Those feet that are upon the mountains. Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Oh, may we behold those feet. They were nailed to the cross, those feet that walked upon the mountains, upon this earth. Oh, the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was that we may have peace. There are those that beheld the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of Mary. We think of that woman who was a sinner. Oh, they wept at his feet, wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. Those feet that were to be nailed to the cross. Yet those feet, they came upon this earth that we might be beautified with salvation. But those feet are above the mountains, upon the mountains, those impossibilities. Those things that are so much in front of us. We're close to a mountain. We can't see anything else. Except unless we look up. We may have mountains behind us, all around us. But may we look up and see the feet of him. The Lord Jesus Christ who came. Who walked upon this earth. And delivered his sheep. His lost sheep. And bore them upon his shoulders and carried them to safety. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Now Paul and Silas, how their feet were held fast in the stocks, and by that they must have to either sit down or lie down. There they were in great pain. We've read the account of Huguenots in the time of the terrible persecution of the French Christians. One of their worst nights, when they were sold as slaves, galley slaves, to row those boats in the French Navy as slaves. Their feet chained, but one of the very worst nights they ever had was in a prison, and where they were chained, their heads could not lie down upon anything but that which was excruciatingly painful. We read of Paul and Silas, their feet in the stocks in the inner prison, a place of great pain and discomfort. Their backs, no doubt, bleeding, bruised. When you read an account of that form of punishment, of scourging, you read it in John Gadsby's visit to Egypt, where he saw it administered. And he describes it in detail. And it was so sickening and terrible to his sight that he had to leave the place. That's what they did to our Lord Jesus Christ, on account of our sins. We read that concerning the ploughing of furrows upon his back. Now a plough doesn't just scratch the surface. It digs in deep. That is what it cost our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul and Silas, in such a state, in the darkness, in the midnight hour, yet what did they do? They praised God. They sang his praises. There they were granted that faith from Almighty God. And how the Lord takes pleasure in such praise. The prayer, the worship of faith in the Spirit. The Lord sent that earthquake, and that earthquake, as we've noted before, didn't just shake the prison, it shook the very soul of the jailer and his household. There was fruit appearing of the ministry that Paul and Silas have been called to. Oh, in our darkest hour, let's not, as it were, wait to see some glimmer of light before we sing praise. We're called to sing, to look and walk by faith, not by sight. How often the Lord causes us to come to this point where the impossibilities are before us, but in humility and submission before the Lord. We have to say, Thy will be done, to praise the Lord and the beauty of holiness. That is what the people did in that occasion in Jerusalem, in the days of Jehoshaphat, where they had the impossibility before them, a mighty host, armies, united armies coming against them to destroy them. And the children of Israel, but few. For they had the word of the Lord, the promise of the Lord. Although the armies were there to be seen with the natural eye, yet they'd heard the word of the Lord, and they praised God in his holy temple. And they went forth into the battle. They had to go forth. But they went forth praising the beauty of the Lord in his holiness, the beauty of holiness. And it was as they praised God, then the Lord granted them the deliverance. Perhaps if we are sat in the dark dungeon now, oh, may we be granted grace to praise God. If we know anything of his mercy, anything of his favour, oh, that we may look up. And truly, like the Apostle Paul, there when we are brought to praise him, now, like the Apostle Paul, then the prison doors open. The Lord grants that light and that deliverance. It's not that the pathway was plain sailing, as it were, for the Apostle Paul. He had to be shipwrecked. We read of all manner of trials and afflictions he went through. Yet the Lord delivered him out of them all. And he knew that there was that crown of righteousness reserved up for him in heaven. Although, as he wrote to Timothy that last time, he knew that his life, his own blood was to be shed, a testimony of Jesus, yet his eyes were upon that crown of righteousness, upon the Lord himself, by faith. Like Stephen, to his natural eye, all that was to be seen was the counsel, the hatred, the stones prepared to kill him, yet in that very moment, by faith, he looked up and saw, revealed to him, now the Lord took pleasure manifestly in his dear Saint Stephen then, when he saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. We note there that our Lord was standing. Usually we read that the Lord has sat down at the right hand of the Father, but here the Lord was standing, as it were, to receive him. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. In that chapter in Isaiah 61 that we read, that glorious work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word Christ in Greek means the anointed one. In Hebrew it's Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord God was upon our Lord Jesus Christ without measure. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. We read at towards the end of that chapter, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Now we read in Scripture of those whom the Lord so manifestly took pleasure and takes pleasure in. For that taketh pleasure, it is a continual taking pleasure. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever, and those that are in him. Oh, how in the everlasting covenant, the covenant of grace, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, God, the Father, taketh pleasure in his people. But let us consider some of those in Scripture. We think of Ruth. How she was one who was an alien. One not of the children of Israel. She was a Moabitess. According to the law, no hope. But yet she ventured upon the name of the God of Israel. There she ventured. She left all. She left her idols, left her own land, ventured upon the Lord. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. There is a word of faith. To natural sight, she was not like unto the Lord's people, according to the flesh. Evidently different to those of the Israelites. Yet by faith, she said, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And so Ruth returned with Naomi to Bethlehem, the very place where the Lord Jesus Christ came. And there is our hope. The Lord Jesus Christ came. The very place, Bethlehem. And there Ruth resorted there. And there she knew the manifest pleasure of God. And she went at gleaning in the fields to sustain herself and her mother-in-law. As we observed this morning with Jacob, he was in that path of obedience to his parents' command that the Lord met with him. So it was with Ruth. It was in her diligence and concern and labour there the Lord met with her so manifestly in Boaz, who was a type of Christ. There in her obedience. It's not on account of her obedience, not on account of Jacob's obedience, the Lord met with them. But it's a lesson, is it not, to us, especially younger friends. The Lord honours them that honour him. I proved it myself when there seemed to be almost no hope for me. But yet, I must go to the house of God on his day. Although there seemed to be no hope, yet it was that which was right. And it was that very time when there seemed to be almost no hope, yet I went. There the Lord granted that precious revelation of Christ in his beauty. And as it were, I felt the garment come upon me. Felt that terrible burden of unpardoned, seemingly in my own estimation, unpardoned sins, but in the covenant of grace they were pardoned in Christ. But I knew it not, but I left that chapel knowing that I was redeemed. Went there feeling a burden that I could scarcely bear. Didn't know how to carry on, yet that which I knew was that I should go to the place of worship. May we not be weary in well-doing. For who can tell but the Lord will meet us there? If we are tempted to give up on the place of worship, tempted to feel there is no hope, no purpose, oh, let us press on. For who can tell but the Lord will be gracious? The Lord is rich unto all them that call upon him, to all them that come humbly, prayerfully, seeking with a whole heart. Now Ruth, she was directed of the Spirit, though she knew it not, but she was directed to that very place where she should meet Boaz, that one that should care for her, should take pleasure in her, although she was not like unto Boaz's handmaids according to the flesh, for she was a Moabitess. But yet Boaz looked upon her and took pleasure, provided for her. And Ruth, she ventured, in accordance with the godly counsel of her mother-in-law Naomi, she ventured to the threshing floor. And there she lay down at his feet. There was a sign of submission. There was a type of the sinner coming, venturing unto the Lord, falling, lying at his feet, in humility and submission. And that which Ruth said, I am Ruth, thine handmaid, spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Oh, that sets forth that plea of a coming sinner, that the Lord might cover them, spread his skirt over them, that glorious robe of righteousness might cover them. And Boaz, he was not at rest until it was sealed, until Ruth became his bride. And oh, the Lord, oh, how he takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. The Lord hastens to hear the cry of the poor dying sinner with no hope. We see that so beautifully with the dying thief upon the cross, how the Lord heard many a cry of mockery, shoutings, challenges, ridicule, save thyself, come down from the cross and we'll believe. But he spake not a word. He spake not a word to those that sat in judgment. If you come here and sit in judgment, and as it were challenge the Lord to speak, the Lord Jesus Christ has not changed, nor will he change, nor will he speak. The Jews that demanded a sign, he didn't give it to them. If you come here demanding a sign, it's another thing to plead for a token for good, but to come demanding, the Lord Jesus Christ will not change. He is ever the same. And as the Jews heard not a word, saw not a sign, nor will you. But if you come at his feet humbly, the Lord is merciful and gracious to hear. And the dying thief, he uttered that, what must have been a faint word, for he was dying in agony. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now the dying thief confessed that he was Lord. He had done nothing amiss. He was the holy, pure Lamb of God. He confessed that he was justly condemned. The thief confessed his just condemnation. He didn't want to escape from the condemnation of it. not in the flesh. He knew it was just. But that his plea was, Lord, remember me. As it were, Lord, I'm naked before thee. Lord, clothe me. Wash me in thy precious blood. Now the Lord hastened to speak to him. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. So it was with Ruth. Boaz hastened to take her to be his bride. Oh, what an encouragement it is to coming sinners. But the Lord waiteth to answer prayer. The Lord delighteth to hear the cry, the groanings of a humble and contrite sinner. And we have Hannah. What distress she was in as she came to the house of God. She spake in her heart, but only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. We note that first and most vitally she spake in her heart. From the heart, from a desire. From her innermost being she desired that the Lord might hear her prayer and bless her. Now the Lord looked in with pleasure upon her. And let us, well, we could take many in Scripture, but let us, in conclusion, consider Esther, how beautiful that example is there. Of Esther coming unto King Ahasuerus, the Persian emperor. And there we see Esther under the sentence of death and all her people. There this sets forth in type the Lord's people. The sentence of death comes. They have no hope but to fast and pray, to cast all their care upon the Lord. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. She couldn't go in according to the law, and nor can any poor sinner come unto the Lord according to the law. It's like the Mount Sinai could not even touch so much as the border of the mount. But as we've noted before, that poor woman with the issue of blood, utterly separated according to the law, yet she may come and touch the border of his garment, the Lord Jesus Christ. That garment, that robe of righteousness, she may come and touch it. Not according to the law, but according to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to mercy, according to the Lord's good pleasure. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day, and that is most instructive, the third day. There's no superfluous word in Scripture. The third day, that is the day in which our Lord Jesus Christ rose. There was the hope. That day in which the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It was the third day that Abraham came to Mount Moriah, when the Lord delivered him there, and Isaac. There was the ram that was offered up in the stead of Isaac at the third day. And it was upon the mount that, on the third day, that it was seen, the goodness of God was seen. And so it was on the third day that the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto his disciples and showed them his hands and his feet and his side, and spoke, peace be unto you. And there it was seen, the Lord's good pleasure in his people, in mercy. And it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel The royal apparel was that which was given unto her by the King. And there in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, risen again for our justification. That glorious resurrection in our hearts, that new life, there is then by faith that putting on of the royal apparel, the King's garments, that glorious robe of righteousness. She put it on and stood in the inner court, there clothed in that robe of righteousness, we may enter in boldly into the very inner court, where otherwise we must surely die. For there clothed in the righteousness of Christ we may stand. Stood in the inner court of the King's house, over against the King's house, and the King sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the King saw Esther the Queen standing in the court, that she obtained favour in his sight. So it is that the Lord, when he views one who is condemned to death, venturing upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness, his work, his shed blood, there is that obtaining of favour in his sight. And the King held out to Esther the golden sceptre that was in his hand. So Esther drew near. And so may we, though vile, though wretched. The King said unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther?" There, as it were, is that golden hour in which our petitions may be brought before the King himself, clothed in the robe of righteousness of Christ. Thus it is every prayer that we must utter, true spiritual prayer, must be asked in the name of Jesus. For there is our entrance into the holiest of all, made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is thy request? It shall be given thee. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. And let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £815, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day, and he will administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 977. Deep are the wounds which sin has made. Where shall the sinner find a cure? In vain, alas, is nature's aid. The work exceeds all nature's power. Hymn 977.
now, O Lord, we do beg that thou wouldst look in mercy upon us. Forgive that which has been said amiss. But, O Lord, bless thine own word. With power we do pray. Take us now to our homes in peace and safety, and keep us, we pray. We may not forget that which we have considered this day, but, O Lord, grant us the grace to walk in it. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.